assuming that goes through and there actually is the ceasefire, here are some of the other terms here. So first of all, of course, from the Israeli side, all hostages living and deceased will be returned on Monday, as you heard President Trump say in that phone call there to the hostages. And that has people in Israel very, very excited. As you may know, there has been almost throughout this war significant protest inside of Israel against Benjamin Netanyahu. The vast majority of those have not been against the war per se, though that part has been growing here in the last month or so. But the majority of these have always been against the Netanyahu government for failing to get the hostages back. Now, a lot of that happened, and the anger from the Israeli side came after the Israeli side broke the ceasefire in January, because there was a plan to get them all back, and it was a multi-phase process then as well. And Israel sabotaged it after phase one when they got some of the hostages back. So if they do get them all back, that will be a huge relief for those families, and they'll be very happy. And so that's great. On the Palestinian side, they also get some hostages back. They get 250 Palestinians that are serving life sentences for various crimes. Obviously, the Israeli side thinks that they were terrible. The Palestinian side thinks they were trumped up. Whatever, doesn't matter what either side thinks. They're going to get 250 back. They're also going to get 1,700, what they call the Israelis call detainees, what the Palestinians call hostages, back, that people have been taken since the war started in 2023 without charges. They were just taken and detained. They were just kept in prisons with no due process or anything else. So the Palestinian side calls them their hostages that they want to get back. So most of these are women and children, ironically. So they're going to be returned as well. So there's going to be a lot of celebration in both the Palestinians inside the Gaza Strip as well as the Israelis inside of Israel on that. All that could happen as early as Monday. Let's see. Then we also have IDF will have a withdrawal, a partial withdrawal. Gary, we have that map up with the yellow line. If we could pull that up, if we happen to have it. The first withdrawal, this is part of also one of the sticking points, that there's going to have to be a part of the Trump's plan is a withdrawal all the way out of the Gaza Strip. Well, the Israeli side said this morning that they're only willing to initially withdraw to an area where they would still control 53% of the Gaza Strip. And that yellow line there is what President Trump himself posted on his Truth Social as being that initial withdrawal line. So you see, it still doesn't give a whole lot of area to the Palestinian people. And you're still talking about 2 million people are going to remain squished in that very narrow, even more narrow band within the Gaza Strip, the strip within a strip. This you may hear this yellow line. That's one of the things that's going to be talked about
there. Hey, Danny, what's the black line on that map?
That is the Gaza Strip outline. That is the Gaza Strip. The black line is the existing Gaza Strip before. And now then it's going to be reduced somewhat less, because right now Israeli forces are even inside the yellow line there. So that's one of the big issues there. One of the other bigger ones, if getting their hostages back and stopping the bombing is one of the bigger things for the Palestinian side, the very next big thing is allowing aid in. Now, as we've had did a show not long ago where we showed you that Israel had gone from what used to be 400 feeding points throughout the Gaza Strip and had narrowed them down to four, three of which were in the far southern end, which made it a nightmare. And then, of course, they had these gauntlets where they were firing at people, and over 1,000 people were killed just trying to get to the food aid. Now then they're saying, all right, we're going to go back to something big. So apparently on the first day, they will allow in 400 food aid trucks, and that will be ramped up until there is backup. And I think the term they used was soon, without committing to any number. It will be up to the required 600 aid trucks per day. And that can finally alleviate the starvation issue and the problem with malnutrition throughout, because there has been just a trickle, sometimes 30 and 40 trucks, sometimes 80 or so, way, way, way below even the bare minimum necessary. And the difficulties with distribution has been well chronicled. So apparently that's the next thing, is that they will finally start ending the food siege on the Palestinian people, and that'll get ramped up to something better very soon. Next thing I want to talk about here is the governance. So according to the terms that's being discussed coming out of Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, is that there will be a committee of independent Palestinians will be ruled, but they must pass Israeli acceptance first for the membership. And Israel has to agree to it. And there apparently there have been 40 names put forth by the Palestinian side and said, these are some of the people that we want to live. So it has to be vetted. So it's not like there's going to be self-governance right now. It's only going to be what the Israeli side will permit. Apparently, they're going to make sure there's no connections to Hamas or the Palestinian Authority, both of whom they have said are rejected at this point. You have Israel. One of the people that the Palestinians want the most and has been in Israeli prison for a long time, which from some of the people I've talked to that with knowledge in the region, in the Palestinian side especially, is a man named Marwan Bugatti. And apparently he is somebody that a large number of the Palestinians can get behind. He had issues with Hamas, with the Palestinian Authority, so he's kind of independent from both of those. And a lot of people want him in there. Apparently he's very popular and they want him out. Unfortunately, he is not in the initial list of either the 250 or the 1,700 that are going to be released, and that could potentially also be a sticking point. You can just imagine what Israel may not want. One would suggest that maybe they don't want someone who's popular. Maybe they want someone who's adequate. That, you know, if it's somebody that they approve that the Palestinians don't really want, then you're going to get tepid response from the Palestinian side. And I don't know, maybe that's what Israel wants. They don't want somebody that would be popular in there. You could certainly see where they might be against that as well. Palestinians want somebody like that. And I think that it's a bad move for Israel not to want somebody like that, because if you can get somebody that the people can get behind, then they may actually listen to them. You put somebody in there who's not, and you have a higher chance, in my view, for either a renunciation of these terms or a shedding of them, going back to fighting. But you can argue whether or not that is something Israel wants or not. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt for now, but we'll keep a very close eye on that. Trump apparently is going to head to Jerusalem on Sunday, and he will speak to the Knesset. So I think that'll be kind of he'll do a bit of a victory lap there, and we'll see how that's going to work out. I'm sure that's going to be held into, all going to be all over the news. I think that that's actually a good thing. Frankly, I'm okay with him taking a victory lap on this, because that will put more pressure on the Israeli government to stick to the terms. Because if Trump goes in there, makes his big victory speech, and then all of a sudden, some period of time after that, Israel again reneges on the terms and goes back and starts the war back over again, it's going to be egg on President Trump's face. He's going to look like it was a fake deal or something. I don't think he's going to want that. So we'll see what happens from that as well. Foreign Minister Saar also talked about that they immediately want to expand peace into the region. I don't think we have any sound bites on this one, but he had said also that he wants to potentially expand the Abraham Accords. Now, this is also a potentially good thing, because Israel wants to take advantage of the peace momentum to increase the number of states that are peaceful with them as well. And anything that can lower the temperature throughout the region, I'm for that. Now, there's a lot of difficulties and a lot of trouble with that, and the devil's in the details, as we always say. But anything moving towards peace, even an ugly peace, is better than continuing on with an uglier, bloodier war. So there's no perfect peace. Let's just be clear on this. Nothing is going to be perfect about this one. There's not going to be anything perfect with an expanded Abraham Accords or any of that kind of stuff. But anything moving in the direction of peace is better. An ugly peace is better than a bloody war. Continuing on, there are some challenges, however. So even with this phase one, like I said, the problem with phase two, even, it hasn't even been negotiated yet. So that leaves wide open the possibility that you get the terms of this phase one done, and then you never get to phase two, and then that could potentially stumble right back into a renewed war. So there is a lot of detail still left to be discovered here. Hamas, for example, says that there has to be a public declaration that the war is over today before they go into phase one. We'll see if that happens. Hamas also wants security guarantees from the United States. Now, if that sounds a little odd to you, that Hamas is asking the U.S. for security guarantees, that's because they're very keenly aware of what happened earlier this year with the January ceasefire. that there was no security guarantees for them. So when Israel reneged on the deal and went back, they unilaterally started the war back again, and there was no one to stop anybody. So they continued on. So now Hamas is saying, we want security guarantees as part of phase two to get to the actual end of war and the disarmament of Hamas, the expulsion of Hamas, because part of the Trump plan that there was a call for amnesty for the for the Hamas fighters themselves, those who were still left, and the Hamas leaders. And Israel had at least tentatively said prior to this that they're okay with that, that they would guarantee their safe exit from the Gaza Strip. We'll have to see what happens with that as well, because there's going to certainly be many on the Israeli side that says, no, we don't want to give Hamas a free ride out. Because the idea that Hamas is just going to exit the Gaza Strip and just say, you know, shrug their shoulders and say, well, we gave it our best. We did. Now let's just go, you know, be a peaceful farmer somewhere in some other Arab land or wherever they're going to be allowed to get off to. I doubt very seriously that's going to happen, because you can't go from this 2 years of war where so many of your people have been killed, so many of your leaders were killed, and then just say, all right, we're not going to start planning on a return later on, because otherwise you almost start a countdown clock to another one here. So there's genuine issues associated with that. We'll see how that works out as well. Phase two, some of the things that have to be negotiated are a full IDF withdrawal. And that seems to be one of the bigger sticking points on the Israeli side, because they don't want to. You may recall that in the conference after President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu had, after I think it was last week when they met in Washington, that, you know, this Trump plan calls for a full withdrawal of the Israeli Defense Forces. The Israelis and Benjamin Netanyahu, in his comments after, and when he says he agrees with the Trump plan, he did not say anything about agreeing to a full withdrawal. To the contrary, he said that the Israeli security forces will provide security in the Strip indefinitely. So that's a pretty big contradiction to what the Trump plan was. And Foreign Minister Saar was at links in the Fox News interview this morning. He kept on saying over and over that he, you know, wanted to support the Trump plan. It's in the Trump plan, et cetera. But that's in the Trump plan, and that doesn't seem to be in the Israeli plan. That's part of phase two. So that's going to be a real difficult one. If the Trump plan calls for an independent force, whether that's Arab or other international forces, somebody that's acceptable to both sides, not the Israeli Defense Forces. Now, I would argue that the Israeli Defense Forces want that deal because it is very, very costly for them in multiple terms to continue this indefinitely staying in the Strip, because they have to keep the reserves on, and the reserves are already way stretched beyond the limit of what they were ever designed for. And there was already lots of problems with the reserves not showing up when ordered to active duty because of the disruption to their lives, because of PTSD kinds of things, all kinds of issues that were associated with that. There's been a pretty noticeable increase in the number of suicides among the Israeli Defense Forces and veterans. So all of those things have to be taken into effect. So the idea to keep the IDF in there indefinitely for a long period of time is, I don't think, is in Israel's interest to do so. So that pressure may actually lead to something there. We'll have to wait and see how that's going to work out. The other one is, as I mentioned, is Hamas's disarmament and their exit. And this is one of the other things that Foreign Minister Saar mentioned this morning.
Who then governs the Gazan people, sir?
According to Trump's plan, there is a committee of local Palestinians that will do so. And there will be, of course, like a peace council headed by President Trump. All the answers are fully in Trump's plan. Just need to read it. The PA might be relevant only if we'll pass the reforms that were mentioned there in the plan. Let's see if that will happen.
And when he mentions the part about the Palestinian Authority, the PA, that maybe they would be allowed to be the governing authority at some point, he said only after radical or de-radicalization, I think is the term that they have used in there. And if you're wondering what that is, it says that they have to, you know, teach their school children apparently positive things about Israel. They have to not talk about anything negative. And that is just an ask that I don't think anyone in the Palestinian side ever could agree to, because, I mean, just look at the wreckage, physical and otherwise, of the last 2 years of this conflict. And as you've seen from our show that we did on the anniversary of 10/7, history didn't start on October 7, 2023, but you really have to go all the way back to 1946 and 47 and all the way through there. You can't not teach what happened to the Palestinian people all during that time, and especially over the last 2 years of this massive bombardment, the physical destruction way beyond any kind of even any declaration of military necessity. It was just the wanton destruction of the Gaza Strip with the attempt to actually create such unlivable conditions that the others in the world would take the Palestinians and allow them to leave and be ethnically cleansed from the Gaza Strip itself. That apparently has failed. But you can't now say, okay, well, you're going to have to teach, like, you're going to have to not teach any of those things. I don't know how you thread that needle, even from the Israeli side of saying, okay, you can only teach these things. Are you going to say something positive about the Israeli side when they're is nothing positive to report from the Palestinian historical perspective? So that just seems like an impossible ask. I mean, any Palestinian leadership that agreed to those kinds of terms and then started teaching their children, I mean, the parents would go crazy. They would never accept that. So I don't know if that's a poison pill that's built into this. It says, yes, for them to return, they have to do this, knowing that they can't do that. I don't know. But there's going to have to be somebody. Otherwise, it's going to be Israel. So you see, there's lots of difficulties there. And there's just going to have to be a new security and governance architecture as well. And that's going to have to work on both sides. So you see, there's some really, really, really big issues that haven't even been negotiated yet. Good deal on getting the killing stopped. If it stops, and Gary's been showing you some scenes just a few minutes ago from within the Gaza Strip, and there's a lot of celebration. I can only imagine after 2 years of just incessant bombing and drone strikes and tank fires, this happened apparently earlier today, even machine guns, et cetera. And all of a sudden the guns go silent. It just has to be a euphoric moment of great relief. But if history is any detail, that euphoria will wear off and you're going to have a whole new level of things you're going to have to deal with. So we're way far away from having this situation ended or turned into something meaningful and decent. But there's a start. So there's a hope here and there's a possibility. And in fact, speaking of the word hope, I will go back to what I said when this war began. If Israel ever wants to have a peaceful and stable environment, to where its people can live in freedom and they don't have to worry about rockets falling on them from any of the Palestinian areas or terrorist strikes going on, et cetera, they're going to have to give the Palestinian people some kind of a future and a hope that they too can live in peace, that they too can live without worrying about tanks rolling down their streets, without settlers coming in and attacking their people and forcing them out of their home, without bulldozers coming in and destroying their homes. You have to have a situation where both have a chance for a future and a peaceful hope, or neither one of them are going to. So we're still on, and I hope that the negotiators, I hope that the president of the United States, the prime minister of Israel, whoever is going to lead the Palestinian people, I hope they all keep that in mind, that they all have to have a future and a hope, or nobody's going to. All right, that's what we have for you today. That's what we've known so far. We'll continue to update, especially as any statements are made from the Israeli cabinet and from the President of the United States as we go forward in this day even. And please do join us at 1 o'clock today with Professor John Mearsheimer, always one of our most popular shows, playing hardball with Russia, NATO playing hardball with Russia. And then we'll go more into issues of the Middle East peace and, as important, what about the Iranian factor? Because that you can't talk about the issue with Palestine without talking about the Iranian factor. That's at the heart of all this. More on that this afternoon at 1 o'clock. We will see you then on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.